going back on the record at 11:12.
11:12.
Okay.
And you might have them introduce themselves so that you know who you're talking
okay. to. All right, so we're back in session, and we have Andrew Roberts on the phone. Andrew, are you there?
Yep.
Okay. Is there anyone else with you? If so, have them introduce themselves.
This is Priyanka Desai, Mr. Roberts' attorney. I'm also appearing by phone. We're not in the same location.
Ah, okay. Thus, why it took so long to connect. Okay, is that right? So welcome, right? This is a review and discussion of possible actions following initial review, right? So, Mr. Roberts, would you or your attorney like to make an opening statement?
I know Andrew did want to say a few words, but in response to the specific investigative questionnaire, you know, we just weren't sure how much time he would have today to address the board. So he did prepare a written response to some of the, you know, concerns noted in there. And so I just want to state that I hope the board takes those into consideration as well.
Okay. So we don't need to take oaths or anything like that, right?
No. This is an initial review.
All right. If he sent that stuff to the board, then we've had that, we've read that.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm asking if he wants to say anything else or summarize anything. It's up to him.
I think it's basically, I never agreed with the policy procedures of back in action. And I, as a temporary worker, never felt that it would be not my authority try to change that. Upon starting work with Back in Action, I quickly realized that there was some concerns, and then found a job in Washington State that I'm one-on-one with my patient and was given documentation time to legally provide the correct documentation and the concerns that your board has. I left on good terms with Back in Action. I tried to leave as quietly as I could, but like I said, I did not feel that this was a good fit, and the concerns led me to find work other places. So, thank you.
Okay. Does anybody any board members like to ask questions?
I'm just wondering.
And then if you guys could just introduce yourself when you speak so that they understand who they're talking to.
Yeah.
Mr. Roberts, this is Peggy Hunter, my physical therapist assistant. I'd like to know.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Can you tell me some of the concerns that you observed while you were back in action?
I had never been in a clinic that did acupuncture and massage, and that was an experience for me, and how it correlates within the practice. So that was, I think, one thing. And the amount of patients that I see, I've been at clinics that I'm one-on-one, and that's how I try to treat patients. That's what I feel comfortable with. And the policy of the clinic was to see two patients at a time. Was not for that. I prefer one-on-one every day.
Did you express your concerns to anyone in the clinic about these situations?
I asked Keith, hey, what do you think about this? But again, as a temporary worker, I'm there to contract. I am there to provide a service and leave. And it was definitely not being given to me as an opportunity to change the way that the clinic practiced. I was in and out within a couple of months. And so I, again, I tried to leave as positive as I could and be as neutral as possible. So that was always my goal.
So when you saw that there were people or acupuncturists giving acupuncture treatments and the PT was signing off on it, did you feel, I'm wondering why you didn't report that to the board, because that is your responsibility.
He told me that this was a common practice and it was okayed, and as a PT that had just gotten a license in Arizona, understanding somewhat of his reputation, that he confirmed it was okay, I nodded my head and said, all right, and tried to do my best to see my own patient, just because I don't agree with many things, and I'm sure you've been to other clinics as well that you don't agree with things, but given my status as an employee, I didn't want to go into too much detail of trying to rock the boat.
But you understand that is your responsibility as a physical therapist?
I understand that my goal was to be as legal and ethical as I could, and I tried to do that all the time.
Even though there are other people around you that you observed doing things that were not legal.
It appeared that other people were doing things that I wouldn't do, and I did my best to not create an issue with the clinic and be as ethically for myself as I could. I gave questions and concerns to other staff, and I tried to leave as respectfully as I could.
With all due respect, LaCornette got you.
I'm sorry, pardon me?
I said, with all due respect, look where that got you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Roberts, it's Kelly King. I'm a professional member of the board. Can you speak a little bit to the billing inconsistencies between documentation and billing that are outlined in the complaint?
Mm-hmm. With regards to billing, I mean, there's sometimes that I was able to, there was a cancellation with the other time, and I was able to perform a direct more manual therapy, as you'll see in some of the daily notes. The policy of the clinic was to have a physical therapist provide manual therapy treatment, followed by an aide at some time taking them through the therapeutic exercise. And I completing that I, as well, so it was more of an open room, as you know which clinic you were at, so you could still feel.
The PTPD is within the manual.
So our, just in summary, what I think I'm hearing you say, so please let me know if that's not correct, is that the way that you billed was based on the policy of the clinic and how they expected you to bill.
Yes, that's yes.
And I think that you had mentioned that you had just become licensed in the state of Arizona. Did you take a jurisprudence exam?
Yes, ma'am.
So you were close to the exam time and understanding the Practice Act and expectations of a practicing physical therapist in the state of Arizona.
I did pass the exam, yeah.
who's responsible then for making sure that you maintain accuracy in billing for the services you provide? You or the or a clinic policy or a software product?
I think that I'm the one that signs off on it. I think that the paper charting that we received on flowchart and the online billing could create some possible error, of which I was entirely, it was not intentional, if there was any discrepancy. And again, I'm at a clinic that I do one online charting system that I'm able to do the legal way. Thank you.
Any other questions by members of the board?
Motion to forward this to an informal hearing.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Move it to an informal hearing.
Now, Mr. President, members of the board, there was some discussion about failing to report to the board any direct knowledge of an unprofessional, incompetent, or illegal act that appears to be in violation of this chapter. And, oh, by the way, this is Mona Baskin, and that's under ARS 30-2044-17, and if you wanted to add that to the allegations that would be noticed in this case, you'd have to include that in your motion.
There's also, just to point it out, there's also a box on page 7 that indicates you may also want to include 2044-4, which is engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist.
I would be in agreement for both of those.
Do I need to formally amend the motion, or is it?
Yes.
Well, the two of you, if the maker of the motion and the second agree, then do it as a friendly amendment.
Thank you. I am in agreement as well.
So does everybody understand the motion?
Do you want me to reread it?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Okay. So the motion is to move to an informal hearing, including the allegations of 32-2044-12, 32-2044-13, 32-2044-17, and 32-2044-4.
Okay. Again, is there any other discussion or any call the question? All right.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Almost.
Almost.
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Foote?
Yes.
So the motion passes and we'll be proceeding to an informal hearing. Do you understand, Andrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So
will I be hearing from Ms. Donahue then?
You will.
About next steps? Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that will conclude this board item. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So let's move to case number 18-41, Keith Defandry, physical therapist. And I don't believe Keith's here.
I do not see him.
Okay. And this is, again, we're looking at the initial review and making decisions of anything from dismissing to moving to an informal hearing. Okay.
Somebody could help me with this. I'm a little confused how this would work. Mr. Foundry says he had no knowledge of this promotional advertising. I'm wondering how they were going to keep track of the providers that sent them people and give them the $100 Amazon gift card if he'd had no knowledge of it.
I don't think I really have a question, but I assume that they would be able to use, you know, in-house records.
There's a concept that somebody's agent, you're responsible for the actions of your agent.
Mike, can you move your mic? Thank you. Can you and your mic get together? Thank you.
There's a concept, and Mr. Gregory, correct me if I'm wrong, but a person is responsible for their agent. You hire an agent to do something there. You are, to some degree, responsible for their actions. And with Ms. Hunter's point, you know, how are they going to know who referred to who unless there's feedback from the business? So it kind of makes me wonder, was this really, oh, oops. You know, I mean, we've seen cases where, you know, a publicist has done stuff that they shouldn't have. But this one doesn't ring quite as true to me, you know. And I think we should move this to an informal hearing.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Discussion?
And you said an informal, correct?
Correct. I'm just kind of mulling this over in my mind, only in that his name came up in the first informal hearing today. And is this an opportunity? Is there something there that we ought to be looking at closer that's different than this allegation?
I don't think we could go that
right. Mark's unaware.
Dr. Cornwell, you are considering the facts that are before you in this complaint, not of any other proceedings or potential other cases. So we're just dealing with this today.
You have a motion to move to an informal hearing.
Oh, no. Is there a second?
Yes,
oh,
there
okay.
was a second.
Just for my clarity, if you don't mind, what would be the difference in moving to an informal hearing versus a formal hearing?
Do you want to take that one?
Formal hearing would be if you are thinking about either suspending or revoking your license.
And
fines
would be
larger. So if you don't think it rises to the point, I really don't think this is going to get to that point that we need to.
Yeah, I just wanted to know the definition. Is there something else?
Yes, to answer your question, also, if you go to an informal hearing, and at the end of the informal hearing, the board always has the option to move it to a formal hearing at that point. So it's you're not foreclosed.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Ready for the vote? Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
This will be moved to an informal hearing.
All right. Case number 18-29, Mark Boynton, Physical Therapist Assistant.
to apply our matrix, is this a formal way to discipline, or is this an appropriate time to do that?
You can do a consent to the matrix. You would have to use the original matrix because you've already set that precedence.
Can we table this for next meeting and adopt our new matrix?
Well, you can, but then you'll have cases where you use the old matrix, and then you would have same cases in the same compliance period where you use the new ones. It's up to the board how they choose to proceed.
Well, I would move that we offer licensee a consent agreement pursuant to the old matrix, I guess. And if he doesn't accept it, then invite him for it.
And if you so desired, you could table this till after the discussion on the matrix if you wanted to go the other way.
Yes, that's exactly what I'd like to do.
Okay,
I'd move to table this pending discussion of the matrix. While we're at it, I'd move to table the next one, too.
We can't do that. That's the next one.
All right, so we have a motion to table this.
I just want to point out that this document that he signed says I affirm that I have continued to practice as a physical therapist. This person is a PTA, correct?
Yes, he is a PTA. And do we have a different practicing form for the PTA? For reinstatement? We'll check and see if there's two forms. It may be just one I practiced form and that we need to modify. Yeah, I appreciate that. So the motion, I'm sorry, was there a second?
I haven't heard one. Anybody want to second that?
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and seconded to table until after the discussion of the matrix.
Okay, any other discussion?
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Okay, so we will table.
Mr. President, may I suggest we go to the matrices, or the matrices?
That would be item
7. 7.
Yeah. So let's reorder the agenda. We go to item number 7. Number 7.
Yes. Number 7. So the board requested that staff look at the matrix for both the practicing without a license as well as the continuing education matrix that they've been using. Board staff proposes the following changes. The board has every ability to modify any proposal that the staff provides it.
So if you're okay, let's just start with 7A, SB 1086, Health Professions.
Seven. So you should have a folder that says proposed matrix revisions. It should have the revised and the original so that you could look at both.
So we're looking at unlawful practice, correct?
Unlawful practice, it is.
Okay.
I would move that we adopt the unlawful practice matrix. Actually, they're agendized together. I'm going to move that we adopt both of the revised matrices.
I'll second that.
So I have the problem I have with the continuing education matrix is this. Cheaper to not comply than take the classes.
They still are required to take the classes. So there's two processes that occur when you fail to complete this continuing ed through the audit. So once it comes back and it's determined that the person is deficient in whatever number of hours, two processes take place simultaneously. One is they get a letter saying they're deficient, and they have 6 months to make up the deficiency, so they still have to do the continuing education hours. And then the second process is the complaint process, where the board then decides if there's a penalty associated with their lack of compliance. So they still have 6 months to complete their deficiency. So they still do have to take the courses. If they don't comply, then that is an additional complaint that would be open at the end of 6 months if they don't complain, don't comply.
If they don't comply, presumably we have the option of suspending the local licenses.
You always have that ability when it's presented to you in a complaint form. So you have a motion and a second to accept both the unlawful practice matrix and the continuing education matrix. You are in discussion.
Any other comments or questions? All questions.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
The new matrices will be adopted.
Have been
adopted.
All right, so reorder back to 5E3.
I would move that we offer Mr. Boynton a consent agreement pursuant to the adopted matrix. If he does not accept it, to invite him to an informal informal hearing.
Second.
Can you read the matrix and the
record? I have a question.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Do we know who the physical therapists are who have been supervising Mr. Boynton?
We do not. We do not.
Okay.
If you want that information, you would have to further investigate the complaint and have it come back again as an initial review.
I think that's pretty important. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that.
I would agree.
Would it be best just to deal with this and then come up with another motion?
Yes, you can fail the current consent and then proceed on if you would like. Or Mr. Greer could...
As part of offering the consent agreement, could we ask him who he's working for?
We can, but then the question is, what do you want done with that information? It won't come to us as a complaint. It won't come to us, right? So, I mean, he can certainly tell us, but then we have a name that we really can't... The board could, I suppose, generate a complaint. However, you're not going to necessarily get that information.
The board's going to generate a complaint regardless, whether we get it through investigation. If we're going to be opening...
Okay, well, the board would have to decide that because they have not decided that in every case. So they would have to decide on an individual basis whether they are willing to do that in this case. It is not a foregone conclusion that the board has in the past opened a complaint.
And I understand my point is the instigator of the initial review would be the board in either condition.
Correct, but in order to generate the complaint, the board would have to actually direct that. If they're going to put, so if you're going to put in the consent that you want to know the name of the supervising physical therapist, you should then also direct the board to open a complaint against that person if that is what you are seeking the information for. Mona, go ahead.
Mr. President, members of the board, it may be cleaner just to continue it and get that all the information before you so you can make a decision on what to do for this gentleman and if there's anybody else.
The whole thing on Mr. Boynton.
Right, and just come back with all that information. And then possibly in the future, when they fill out the form, if they're going to create a form for a PTA, they could put on there, who was your supervising physical therapist?
Hold on.
Is that on there?
Hold on. So in his notice, notification, he was required to identify. He failed to do so in his response. He failed to do so in his response because we never received a response. That's why we don't know who it is.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Baskin, would it be appropriate for us to forward this to an informal hearing so there can be further investigation and the supervising PT can be identified and we could still apply the matrix?
You still could, yes, that would be an option.
But can you move to an informal, you can't? I guess you could, yes, okay, yes.
Right, I think you could.
You can do.
I would draw my second then.
Yeah, I'm going to drop the motion.
Okay.
I'm going to move forward this to an informal.
Second then.
And from the informal, we might want to offer something else, you know, do something else, right?
Right, and then just as a point of clarification, if we move it to the informal, we've got the findings of facts and the conclusions of law as our outline. Do we have an issue with failure to provide an updated address?
Not with this case.
Not with this case, it was just a failure to respond.
Failure to respond. We do have confirmation that it was received.
Okay, all right, just want to be clear on that in case that came up. All right, thank you.
So we have a motion and we have a second, correct?
Yes.
Does everybody understand what we're voting on? Any other discussion? Then let's call a question.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
Okay. So we are on to item 18-32, John Butler, who's the therapist assistant.
Do you want a summary of any of these? Are you okay?
Yeah, let's go with the summary.
Okay. Complaint 1832, Mr. Butler failed to report to the board DUI charges within the 10-day time period following his charges.
Were they actual DUI charges? The copy of the temporary report was...
Yeah, it's really bad on all ends. I do believe...
It sounded like they were domestic violence charges.
You are correct.
I thought they dropped those. Wasn't that the original reason?
Well, I just can't tell on the.
So you are correct. So what we should do is table this to next month so we can make the allegations correct.
Okay. I move that we table this till next month.
And move.
So Mike, is there a second?
I did.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, and as part of that, Karen, or Dr. Donahue, sorry.
Yes.
Can we get better copies?
These are the best copies I have, but I will request better copies.
Or maybe they're scanned, because I just can't read them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I tried to blow them up and tried to make them as clear as possible, but I'll see if I can get clearer documents.
Thank you.
So you have a motion and a second to table to the March meeting. Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
Okay. Last item is case number 19-02, Amanda Appleberry, physical therapist.
So case 1902, the board opened complaint after receipt of information from the National Practitioners Database indicating that Ms. Appleby had her South Carolina license suspended. You have all the information in your complaint file.
Is there a procedure where we could request or negotiate a voluntary surrender of this? Because it appears that she has no interest in returning to Arizona to practice.
You could offer her a consent for involuntary surrender?
I would move that we offer a consent agreement for involuntary surrender. If she doesn't accept it, then I think we have to go to a formal hearing on this.
I second that. Mm-hmm. For involuntary?
Voluntary surrender.
Exactly.
Right, gotcha.
Right. So involuntary surrender is a disciplinary action. So that you're all aware. So the motion is to devise a consent for Ms. Appleberry requesting an involuntary surrender of her license. If not, it will be moved to a formal hearing. There is a second?
I second.
If there's any other questions, comments, discussion? Let's call a question.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
go back to that.
You did go back.
No, we have another matter.
Which other? Oh, we do have a matter, yes.
Yes, Dr. Cornwall, members of the board, there was a matter that the board will need to revisit. It was an application that Mr. Greer needs to recuse himself on. So if we could go back to
is it PT or PTA?
It is 3A2, right.
Which person? Mr. Cooney or Mr. Doss?
3A2.
Mr. Doss.
Austin Doss.
Do they need to rescind the motion?
So I would ask the board to rescind their prior motion of granting the license. And then after that, the board can reconsider the motion, and we'll have on the record that Mr. Greer has is not participating in this matter, that he's recused himself.
Okay. So it'd be kind of clear kind of why we're doing this?
We
want to make the record show that Mr. Greer was... recused himself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it looked fine. So,
it's a conflict.
Right.
All right. So I move that we rescind the previous board order regarding Austin Dodd.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. Castillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
Motion is rescinded.
Okay. All right.
Did we do Ryan King?
You did.
Together.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you need a new motion.
So I move that we approve Austin's application for physical therapy licensure with documentation. Approve his license. Okay.
Second.
Just for a point of order, we did these individually, correct?
You did them as a group when you voted.
So we'll have to individually then do these?
No, you took out Mr. Doss individually just now.
Just with that. Okay, right. Thank you for clarifying. Mm-hmm.
So the motion before you is to approve his license?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
And Mr. Greer comes back to the table at 11:48.
Okay. All right. So how about moving to item number 7, review, consideration, and action on review.
You did.
We did that. Oh, now we're at number 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, review, consideration, and action on legislation 2019, collection of workforce data, SB 1096.
Do we have a speaker slip for Cynthia? We do. Okay. So, do we have a speaker slip for Cynthia?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, there is a bill before, I got to get my notes here. There's a Senate Bill 1096 in which physical therapy could be added to the agencies that will collect workforce data. And then I'll let Ms. Driscoll, if the board approves, to continue that conversation. Nope, not yet.
No, do we need to make that?
Yes, if you're in support of this, I would appreciate a motion that you would be in support of signing on and being an agency that would collect this data. I will give you some other information is that I asked A2A how much this might cost us in order to add it to our renewal, and I have not heard back if there is a cost or what the cost will be to add these questions to the renewal.
I think I have some just general questions of Cynthia, so
sure.
Can we do that before the motion?
Yes.
Okay. Can you kind of, I've seen some very early drafts of what the data is going to be collecting. So what's being proposed now? What kind of data is going to be collected?
Mr. President and members of the board, my name is Cynthia Driscoll. I'm here on behalf of the Arizona Physical Therapy Association and State Government Affairs Committee. We have been interested in the workforce data collection since early meetings in 2015 when then-director Chuck Brown pulled stakeholders together, primarily university and education programs, as well as interest from the association and employers about workforce data for the future. So this has been an issue we've been active on in the legislature since that time, and have tried to encourage participation by the Board of Physical Therapy in the initial legislation last year. That was not successful, as the Nursing Board and Medical Board felt like they wanted to organize themselves first and then add other providers later. We stuck with it and asked Senator Carter to amend this year's bill to include the Board of Physical Therapy. She specifically requested that the Board of Physical Therapy indicate that, yes, they were supportive of collecting this data and would support the process as is being outlined by the other boards. So that's what brings us to the discussion today with the current Senate Bill 1096. There have been three or four meetings from stakeholders and boards participating in the workforce data process that is facilitated by some nonprofits that is also interested in the availability of healthcare providers throughout the state. They have proposed rules on a database collection, what they would define as the minimum data set. So I believe that's what your question directs to. So they are looking at a number of items which are kind of typical of the minimum data set that has been supported by the Federation of Boards of Physical Therapy. It deals with ethnic information, highest level of education and degree, employment status, and are you currently providing direct clinical care or patient care in Arizona? They've also looked to amend it to add, are you providing services through telehealth or telemedicine? And it defines categories of practice. It could be administration, research teaching, or clinical practice. They want to know average hours worked in providing patient care or other items, and the likelihood of retirement or continued participation in providing patient services, as well as do you provide services outside the state of Arizona. So those are the items that are in the proposed rules for minimum data set. It's not complete at this time, so there's the opportunity for the Board of PT to also input that process.
And this, the idea is becomes national, hopefully. I mean, eventually becomes national, correct? Right now, this would, what we're dealing with here is just whether or not Arizona will collect that information.
Correct. There are a number of states who also are in this process of collecting workforce data. With most of them, it's following the pattern that Arizona is following, where health professions boards are collecting data with license renewals, and then they are creating a central repository for that data. In Arizona's case, that would be the Arizona Department of Health Services. And from that repository, the data would be available to members of the public, to educational institutions, to employers, other interested parties.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions? I think it, you know, I mean, you always get kind of a little nervous about, you know, collecting more and more information about yourself. But I think it's important for us to have this kind of information to try to predict and how to deal with what's going to come down the pike in 10, 15 years. So I think it's important, and the information we're going to collect, I don't think is that sensitive. So,
Dr. Cromwell, I am in agreement with you. I've had lots of time thinking about and looking at the minimum data sets from the Federation, some of their discussion about it, and I think it's very relevant. Could be extremely helpful to governing boards as well as the community.
So, I move that we approve
support
the minimum data set legislation.
Second.
I have a question for Dr. Donahue. You mentioned you reached out. When do you think we'll know what the cost would be to implement this?
If there's a cost. So I have had conversation with Mr. Brown, who is our ADOA representative, and he says that they're very short-staffed over there, and as a result, it could be a while before we know whether there is a cost. He is unsure whether they can just add the questions and there is no cost to us, or whether there is a cost to modify the online renewal system to add these questions. So I do not have an answer for when I might have an answer, but this would go into effect in 2020 renewal, so it gives us 2 years to, a little short of 2 years to make it all happen.
The quality of the online
It remains questionable, yes. It still remains questionable. We really won't know the status of renewal until we unfortunately engage in it again. So they're trying to fix it all, but they thought they had it the first time.
Is there an option to, if we approve it today and we get down and the cost is prohibitive, what do we do?
I'm not anticipating that it'll be prohibitive. If it is, the other option we would be is that we could obviously mail these questions to each person and try to collect the data that way. So there, you know, we have some options. The easiest option, of course, is to make it as part of the renewal cycle and ask the questions as we ask, you know, all the other questions that we do in renewal, and that will be our ideal place. If we had to, if the cost was prohibited and we couldn't add it electronically, then we would figure out some way to attach this document to the renewal, that they would have to complete it before the renewal is complete. And we've done that paper this year, and we love that process a lot. So we could do it again, but our intent would be very much to incorporate it into the electronic system.
And Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, you could ask for a letter could be sent from on behalf of the board to somebody in the supervisory position over at ADOA and ask them specifically if they could make this a priority so the board could have this information rather than being told that, well, we're busy. I think that may be a way to get that information.
What does it mean that we support this? We're going to support this. Do we have to do anything, or is this just...
No, you don't have to do anything. You're just supporting it, which allows the legislation to move smoother if the board in question that has the responsibilities is willing to take on the responsibility.
Right, and some of the options the board would have would be to support it, to not support it, or to remain neutral and take a neutral position.
I will say I believe the data is important for us to receive. I think there's a lot of questions out there, and this data would answer a lot of those questions. And so I think it would be very helpful for our profession to have these questions, as well as the board, to be able to make decisions regarding budgeting and those kinds of things as well.
And this is the current legislative session, correct?
Yes, the current status of Senate Bill 1096, it has passed the Senate unanimously. It will go to the House, and that's where an amendment that includes the Board of PT would be added. Specifically, the bill sponsor, Senator Carter, would like a letter from the board indicating their support to be included in the workforce data collection.
So
do we need to include the sending them the letter of support?
Yes, because that will have your signature on it, Mr. Dr. Cornwell.
But do we need to put that in the motion?
You can. That would be appropriate.
And it would just be a notice that's saying the board consider it, there was discussion, and the board's decision was blank.
Okay.
Very
So you do have a motion and a second. So you can make the amendment that a letter, a support letter, will be generated and sent to the appropriate parties as an amendment. If the maker of the motion, Dr. Cornwell, and the second, Ms. Hunter, agree.
I agree.
All right. Everybody clear on what you're voting for? Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. We're on to item 8, board business and reports. A, executive director's report.
So each board meeting will present you with the financials. Of course, if you have any questions, let me know. As you know, this year we will have some excess due to staffing changes. We have spent some of that excess now, and that we have purchased new electronics for board staff as well as for our two part-time investigators. And we still have plenty of cushion in that budget as we speak. We want to do it now because we will not have that same cushion next year. And so we're trying to pre-purchase as much as possible with the funds that we have this year. All right. Any questions, Mr. Clinton? Okay. Rules update. Your compact rules were approved on February 5th by GIRC. I attended that meeting. The whole meeting lasted 30 seconds for all of the rules. It was the fastest meeting I've ever been in. It took me longer to walk there than to come back.
which means effective 60 days after the filing date was actually on the same date, which was February 5th. So in the beginning of April, we will then be engaged in the ability to accept compact licenses. So our newsletter that you will have a preview of to approve next board meeting will explain the process for joining the compact and all of that information. We have a few housekeeping compliance things to take care of, but we should be ready to go in the beginning of April.
Excellent.
All right. We did hire our second part-time investigator, which is our past president, Ms. Richardson. So Mr. Balbaran and Ms. Richardson will be the two part-time investigators for the board. Good. We need to, just an FYI, the five-year rule review is going to occur in this cycle. I think actually it's 2020. And we are going to hire Ms. Hahn, who did our rules, to actually do our rules review as well. She has great expertise in that as well. We will be discussing next meeting potentially a committee just to look at rules. And even though we have a moratorium, we can't change any. It'd be nice to know if we could, what would we? And we might be voting on a committee to look at that at the next meeting.
Right. Now, but according to the Executive Order 2019-01,
there
is no rulemaking.
Yeah, there's no ability for us to change rules at this point. So
it's just wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking. Okay. Wishful thinking. So we also then need to elect the FSBPT delegate and alternate. The two meetings that are required of the delegate are the Leadership Issues Forum, the LIFE, and the annual meeting, and the dates are posted. So you will now elect who you would like to be your delegate and who you would like to be your alternate for these meetings. These the delegate for sure is funded, and I will find out about the alternate, whether they're funded or not funded.
So sending a delegate to the Leadership Issues Forum, isn't that relatively new?
The last few years.
I thought it was always by invitation from the Federation.
So you are going to be invited as delegate to attend the LIFE meeting. So they need to know who you are.
I have a question. Is this just for the 1 year, or is it?
This is for the 1 year. We do this every year.
Uh-huh.
So looking for nominations for delegate. Don't all jump.
I nominate our president, Mark Cornwall.
That wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I've attended both meetings.
Right.
Several times in the past,
they are really tremendously good meetings to attend. So people who have not attended, you might want to consider being a delegate. The information is really well worth, and the time is well spent at these events.
I'm happy to serve, but if somebody else would like to,
can we get a boatload of CPUs?
And you do get a yes.
Look, you've got an opportunity to spend several days in Oklahoma City.
And Alexandria, Virginia.
I'm the sooner. I take that.
I had a wonderful time of year to be at Alexandria.
Yeah.
I'd like to know if there are any new board members that have not attended that would like to go.
I will already be there as an exam committee chairperson, so I'll be at both of those meetings already.
Karen, any interest since you're the other new board member?
I am just not available for the July meeting. I could attend the October meeting.
Okay. So you could potentially be the alternate.
I could potentially be the alternate.
There we go.
Okay. All right.
Well, I haven't heard a vote yet. You do have to vote on it.
All right. So I guess it's somewhat of a motion. So I would be the delegate, and then Karen would be the
alternate. Okay.
Second.
Thank you for accepting the nomination.
Yeah.
The Leadership Issues Forum is always very, very interesting.
It's always so.
Who's second?
Ms. Hunter.
Hunter's second. Okay, you ready for the vote?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Aye.
Mr. Greer?
Aye.
Mr. Clinton?
Aye.
All right. So the sixth item on my thing that we have to do, my agenda, is that the regulatory training for new board members and staff is occurring in August, another wonderful time to be in Alexandria, Virginia.
Yes.
And I have already pre-signed up Ms. King, Dr. King, and Dr. Bustillo. Now, if you can't make it, you need to let me know, but we needed to get the names in quickly so that you're on the paid-to-go list. However, they do, until they fill the room, they do allow other people to attend. So is there any other board meeting who would like me to submit their name to attend the board member training?
I'd be interested in doing that.
Okay. Anybody else? All right, I will submit your name as well. Josh, we'll have to see how the room fills. Okay. All right, there are other, item number 7. This is not a discussion point, but I wanted to make you aware of two bills moving through the legislative process that will potentially affect us. One is Senate Bill 1086, where they're talking about reinstituting a temporary license. The other is... For all boards, we would be included in that. We did take away the temporary license about 15 years ago for a variety of reasons. House Bill 2118 deals with people identifying themselves or representing themselves as a licensee or certificate holder when they are not, and adds some harsher penalties and more powers to the board. To take care of those individuals when they cross our desk.
Just interested in, if either of those passed, wouldn't we need to be able to make some rules relative to them?
Maybe. And then, well, that would be up to the discretion of the governor to grant us the ability to do so if it was found that our statutes were in conflict. Okay. I mean, if our rules were in conflict with statute, then we would have to request a special permission to modify the rules. So there's no guarantee that permission would be granted, but we did get that grant for the compact. So yeah, there is precedence. All right. And then the very last thing we have to do is we need a board photo for the newsletter. So if you would all gather. There's no good place to gather. We'll just gather by Mr. Cornwell. If you guys could all squish in together, we'll take a picture. And
and then we'll be there.
You are in that picture. As much as you try to get out of it, you are in that picture. So if the staff member, or not staff members, if the board members and Ms. Baskin will just
gather, stand, join each other. We'll take one nice quick picture.
I don't want to.
Just push your chairs back. Come together. Stand nicely. Join the pit in the
Okay, she's bossing me around.
You might as well set her in the screen because it'll look really bad. Scoot over. Keep scooting. Scoot over. There you go. Okay. Karen, are you good that you are in front?
Yeah.
Okay, here we
Always.
Go.
Always.
Perfect. We're going to take one more. You're all washed out with that white screen.
Right. Perfect. Better.
I had half my face cut off.
Better.
Thank you.
That's my trick usually.
So, do I have a motion for adjournment?
We have a call tonight.
Call to the public.
Public.
Call to the public.
The public.
Well, you didn't call it, so.
They are calling to the public.
We're calling.
I'm now calling.
Okay.
Nope. All right.
Okay.
I make a motion to adjourn.
So
okay.
Moved.
Oh, what time?
Seconds.
So moved. 12:10.
All right.